Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Lebus Krobela this morning. Lebus Krobela says, Ineba, and talking about the mercy of God, that his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, and that he keeps his mercies on us. Rea Lebuja, for the mercy, for the grace. We are so grateful. Thanks to Mvain and Rousseau together with Janine for this morning. I know that you had a wonderful, wonderful time. And yes, family, it is just for you with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 11 o'clock right here on the waves of 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. No, there is his besuk my Dr. Leilani. You know, it's the last Wednesday of the month, and hey, Mara, Dr. Leilani, we raropa, man. Ay, raropa, to be honest. The other time we had his besuk op, the Easter Woensdag. Yeah. Who come, Mar?
Just being accommodating for
Can you get a little bit closer to your mic, Dr. Leilani? Sorry, yeah. I'm missing you a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maar vandaag, dat is de laatste een.
Ja, ja. Except the time has been changed from 10 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Asia,
to
10
past 9. Hey,
yeah, you and I are traveling a lot.
Yeah.
And ons is niet alleen niet. Ons is niet alleen niet, maar ons is met virologist Dr. Daniel Morovari. Hoe gaat het met u, dokter?
Dit gaat goed met mij. I'm just glad to be here.
I ons leer. Dr. Leilani is the one who's teaching me Afrikaans. So I'll get there. And I put it on Facebook this morning to the family to say, we have had, at the beginning we had with Dr. Leilani, we were inundated with questions of where we are at, what kind of season are we going through, with a lot and lots of people experiencing colds and flu, and they're not quite sure if we are back at COVID-19. They are scared. Some of them mentioned that with their flu comes hallucination. Some mention headaches, aching bones, and some also talk about confusion as well. Hallucination, confusion, aching bones, and headaches. And they were wondering, is this COVID-19 or is it still flu? Some of them, I was talking to another couple who has had all the concussions, you know, the garlic and onions and everything and ginger and honey, and nothing is working. They had to go see a doctor, and still they had to revisit the doctor after seeing him for the first time. Wow. And they are wondering, what kind of season are we in? What's happening? And so, family, the virologist is with us, Dr. Leilani, on Sprat Uer, colds, flu, and COVID-19. Today you can ask your questions. The lines are open for you, 012-334-1322. 012-334-1322. That's where we are at. And you can also send us a WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. Dr. Morobadi, we won't be able to answer you as Radio Pulpit. On this knee, doctors. We are not doctors, but the lines are open for you from now until we are done. Dr. Morobadi, Dr. Leilani, if I may ask him, are we back into COVID-19? That's the main question that people are asking.
Oh, thank you very much for the invite. Yeah, and this is a good question, because these colds and flus are still in the background. Definitely, if we look at the stats, COVID-19 has actually never really left. I just wanted to clarify that. Mm. So it's gone down to a point where it's becoming part of our normal day-to-day colds and things. But we have seen a slight spike, I must say, in the lab where I work, that's Ampath Laboratory, just about February, March. We've seen a slight increase, but not such that it will panic. I think the results of what we pick up should be clear in the hospital admissions and things like that. But as far as influenza, we've seen a lot more influenza cases, I must say. So these viruses really, they present very much similar, especially at the early stages of infections. So it's very difficult to actually clinically look at a patient and decide, this is COVID-19, it's not flu. Or this is flu, it's not COVID-19. That's where you need to involve your doctor and your pathologist to really.
So there's a thin line.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, actually what inspired me to suggest this topic is that there is a sort of an outbreak, let me say maybe an epidemic, especially in the townships, of this flu-like symptoms, patients coming in. And well, we're also scared at primary healthcare level. We are scared that maybe there is a return of COVID-19.
Yeah.
So we do some tests. And then, as Dr. Murabadi said, there are some positivities. But in my practice, I think it's about 3% positive tests that I get from the laboratory after doing a nasal and a throat swab, looking for COVID. So I would say maybe I'm happy that the positivity rate is a bit low. You
know? But there's a thin line.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So if we say there's a thin line, the strength of both, how do we measure it? Which one is more deadlier than the other? Because where people saying I hallucinate without medication, I hallucinate, or I become confused and got these headaches that never go.
Yeah, you know, I think that becomes quite an important area to especially mention to the listeners. Once you have a flu-like illness, because flu presents in different ways. This is what we call influenza-like illness. I don't know if I should someone call
it. Yes, please.
Yeah, influenza-like. The problem with telling a virologist to speak about viruses, they never stop. So please.
We are happy you are here. We are happy we have a virologist in the studio today. Yes.
Excellent. So it has a flu-like symptoms. That's one category of people who will have your normal colds, your normal sneezing, your cough and things. They'll have headaches. They'll have aches in the joints. They'll have malaise or like generalized body pains. Now, all of these are what we call influenza-like. And the recommendation is not always to actually treat those, because you want to treat the ones with what we call more complicated influenza virus. Now, the difference between these two is those who then have underlying medical conditions like heart disease or diabetes or obesity. Those ones tend to be at higher risk of severe disease. They get admitted and things like that. Those are the ones that I will be very much careful about.
I remember last year asking Dr. Tlailani about a certain patient who was not even coughing at all. I don't know if you remember, Dr. Tlailani, but everything else felt on them as flu, like the bones, the headaches. So are they? Do they fall under flu-like? And this patient, now I realized this year that she has blood pressure. So if you're feeling all of that and you have an underlying should you be checking it? You're not coughing. There's no cough at all, but you're feeling fluish, the blocked nostrils, and
most definitely, I feel you should visit your GP, who will do a proper assessment and then recommend the proper testing. That will help. And then if you have that underlying condition, that will also trigger possibility of treatment. Indeed,
Dr. Tlailani, what kind of flu? Influenza that have you been seeing in your practices lately? Because I heard even on Facebook some of the family members of Radio Pulpit were mentioning how horrible the flu is.
Yeah, we are seeing quite serious flu nowadays, especially that it looks like it came a little bit earlier this year. We know that flu or influenza.
Yeah.
It's from the period of about September to February, and then there's going to be
what?
Yes.
We think that it starts in April, May, June, July, then it's gone.
We've definitely seen some disturbances in our normal epidemiology, I must say.
Okay, wait. So that what Dr. Tlailani is not normal?
What we have seen, we've seen some flu cases go up in the normal period, April to about.
And so then now we've
seen some peaks as well. In the later months, we've seen those. Becomes different.
And what were they showing up with, Dr. Tlailani?
No, they were showing with fever, chills, body aches, coughs, you know, all sorts of symptoms, sore throat, runny and stuffy noses. And then fortunately, now the physicians have come with a certain scoring mechanism that we can score these patients, so that we can differentiate as to whether is it genuine flu, or is it going to be COVID in brackets, or is it a pneumonia or maybe a bronchitis.
Hey.
You know, they are using things like if a patient comes confused already from these symptoms, and then that's number one. And then if you do a test and find that the urea is high, meaning that there could be some metabolic disorder associated with the symptomatology that the patient presents with, and then the respiratory rates which have increased. You know, an influenza patient does not necessarily get fast respiration, tachypnea. Yes, that's right. Those patients don't get that. I mean, an influenza, unless maybe it's COVID or maybe a pneumonia that we are faced with. And there's also a question of blood pressure that you have to also measure, because patients present with an influenza-like problems and their blood pressure shoots up. And then you will be, you know, tempted to treat the blood pressure.
Mm.
Only find that it's just a reaction to that acute infection of the influenza.
Mm.
So those are type of the patients that we see, you know. It's quite severe. And then the last thing is age-related, especially the 65 and over, and then the children less than 8 or so. Those are the patients that we see, and then we usually take very good care of them. And then do all the swabs and everything, send them to the laboratory and see what we are really dealing with. And then maybe Dr. Murabadi will come to types of influenza viruses like ABC and how to recognize them.
And I was asking myself also, could we blame it on the climate change? On the rains that came early, does it affect the? We have a virologist. Does it affect the virus mutating as well? Because we have experienced early rains than normal, and there were, like, in some places there were floods. So does it also affect the mutation of the virus?
I think not necessarily the rains affecting the mutation of the virus, but what it will affect is how well the virus actually survives in the environment. And there's been issues about if there's more humidity, the virus can be more encapsulated, being more protected, then it can circulate a bit more. But then what we see also in the winter months, people huddle up in the houses. Obviously, it's cold outside.
We don't open the windows.
Yes, and then that's a flourishing environment.
Look at what
they see. Exactly. Those are very, very important, pertinent issues you're raising. Because, I mean, there's not well-ventilated windows and people get exposed.
You can go to the types as Dr. Tlalan said.
Thank you. Yeah, so we basically have about three types, types A, B, and C. Now, flu belongs to one family. I'm not going to go into the technical things about the family of the virus, Orthomyxoviridae, but it has about three types. So A and B are the ones that commonly cause human infections. C really causes very mild, if anything.
Okay.
But then what we usually see is that the pandemics are caused mostly by type A.
Okay.
And then the epidemics that we see every year are caused by type B. Just a little bit, I want to really touch on the surface of virology, because it will explain and to help people understand why we have to vaccinate every year. So viruses mutate at a very rapid rate. We have DNA viruses and RNA viruses. So RNA viruses replicate very fast, and they make a lot of mistakes. And thirdly, they don't care about those mistakes. So they don't actually go back and fix those mistakes. Unlike DNA viruses, or even us as humans, we are made up of DNA. Mm. We have a mechanism where we're able to go and fix whatever mistakes have been. So viruses, with that in place, they develop a lot more mutations in time. So with type A, as far as pandemics, if you get a mix of segments of virus in a different mix-ups of a setting, you tend to have a brand new virus that nobody has ever seen. That's what causes the pandemic. So remember, this is a bit of virology history. In 1918, there was a flu virus that killed a lot of people. Now, more recently, in 2009, we had that H1N1. That was a pandemic. It was a brand new virus. But then you have these point mutations that occur on a more regular basis, small changes, but then they render the virus different, slightly different. That's why we need to get an updated vaccine every year. And mostly that's for type B. That's the one that we get a lot of point mutation for. And then all of these epidemics will come during the flu seasons, and that's when we see all of this. That's why we recommend highly that people do vaccinate for flu, ideally before this flu season starts. But I learned that this year's vaccines was only available like around March or so. I just checked those in. Yeah, it came a bit later than usual. So ideally, you want to actually vaccinate before the start of the flu season and get people immunized.
So when it comes to your hallucination and confusion, okay, I can understand the aching of bones. I can understand congestion and coughing and all. Hallucinations? We never even had hallucinations with COVID-19.
Well, whatever will overwhelm the metabolic system of your body is going to cause you to be confused or something like that. That's why confusion is one of the criteria kept,
guidelines.
Yeah, that's right. That we have to be mindful of a patient, that the patients do become confused because of the treatment that they get.
But these ones say they hallucinate even before they have the medication. Could it be in the virus?
I think the only time when I would think of a hallucination is when you can have a complicated flu, influenza. Yeah. If the virus starts going into the brain, that's another complication.
Can it get to the brain?
It can get to the
brain.
Definitely. So that's something we need to watch out for. So I wouldn't ignore that. Just maybe get your doctor to check it out.
Okay.
And just while you are there concerning the vaccinations, I've got patients who resist to take
vaccine.
Yeah, and say, look, doc, I got an influenza sometime for 2-3 weeks ago. Why should I be vaccinated when I have got antibodies? I mean, that virus that infected me could have...
like we did during COVID.
That's right. So what is your take on that?
Yeah, this is the most famous question, I think, about vaccines and resistance. Well, in essence, if you look at the composition of the flu virus, so last year they used to recommend about 4 types of a virus to be included in the vaccine.
Okay.
Actually, this year they reduced it down to 3. Because, I mean, tests have been done and they've seen the other one is not really prevalent. So that's why they removed that one. But if you get infected by the one strain, theoretically, you can still get reinfected by the other 2 strains. So if the patient had H1N1, which is in the part of the vaccine, fine, he'll be protected from that because he was vaccinated. But the flu B and the other type, he might not be. So I had flu last year. I actually had flu, and a few days later I realized, no, let me just go get the vaccine anyway, just to protect myself from the rest of the antigens that are part of the vaccine, so that I don't get susceptible to the other strains.
All right, let's take a break, and then when we come back, I have a question. How does the virus affect our immune system? Does it, when we start, because I'm wondering, Dr. Tlelane and Dr. Murubaidi, why were the people getting healed from their concussions? Now concussions are not working. And why are others not responding positive to the medication given by doctors? And they have to go back to the doctor. Is it in the overload of the virus? Or what's happening right there? We're coming back, family. Do remember that you can talk to us. The lines are open. 012-334-1322 is the number that you can dial in. And Gesel Smerons in the studio. You can talk to us. Alternatively, write your WhatsApp on 0826572729. We're talking everything, all things flu, with Dr. Tlailani and Dr. Murubaidi in the studio. So ask your questions whilst the virologist is still here with us, because afterwards, Radio Pulpit won't have the answers for you. We won't know what to say to you, hey? So just do yourself and us a favor to ask that question right now. Taking the sounds of Loiso Pala, but before we do that, let's do this.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
We give you thanks, O Lord. And that is Loiso Bella this morning, right here on Just For You with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 11 o'clock on the airwaves of 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And I see Pastor Anna Motlana says, Ki teledije. I see Stacey Williams. I see Irene Rachel Williams. Okay. I see Elna Truter. I see Sharon Foree. Our very own Velma and Lisa. Hello, Tani Kun. Hello to you, Louis and Bruma. Hello to you. Thank you so much, family, for being with us. I know there are others that I'm leaving behind who are tuned in. Board Gail. How are you, Gail? Thank you. Gail Ndips, Muruti Mujalifa, Daniel Maloka, Natasha Vance. Hello. Ooh, family, Libangata, too much that are tuned in. So sorry I can't mention all of you, but hello to you, family. Thank you so much for being with us, joining in. It's time for your questions. You can ask your questions on 012-334-1322. 012-334-1322 and 082-657-2729, 082-657-2729. Ask anything flu and you will get your answer today. Be it maybe we haven't asked it with Dr. Tlailani. We are not alone. There is a besuk met Dr. Tlailani Mar onses nyalini. And we are with virologist Dr. Daniel Morobadi from Ampeth Laboratories, and the lines are open for you. So before we went to the break there, I wanted to ask a question, Dr. Morobadi, and I was asking about what was I asking about, Dr. Tlailani? I know I was asking about something very important.
Yeah, I think I remember your question.
You remember my question?
Yeah.
Oh, good morning, Tani Ursula Andrew. Hello to you. I don't know where I wrote it down because I was writing it down. But yeah, we are experiencing a lot of people not getting healed from the concussion. Yes, I found my question. People not getting healed from the concussions that they had. I remember we would mix garlic, ginger, cayenne pepper, turmeric, and we cook it for 10 minutes and you drink that. It's called tea with lemon, and people would be healed from that. But now some are not getting healed this year with the same concussion, and others are taking umhlonyane and it's not helping. Kana ke lingana. No. Yes, and people, I don't know what lingana is in Engels. Is it eucalyptus?
Eucalyptus.
It is eucalyptus, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they boil it and they drink, or bloemkop tree, plants from the bloemkop tree, but they don't get healed from that. And others go to the doctor, but they react negative to the medication. Why? Is it the virus, the kind of virus we are dealing with now, or what's happening?
Very interesting. You know, I think before COVID came through, so our immunity was at a certain state. This is really my understanding of how immunity works and what's been happening. But since COVID has come in, I must say the immunity has taken a knock to some extent, because especially also after a period where we got masks on, the lockdown and all those things. So the day-to-day challenge that we always had, that has always kept our herd immunity high, we lost that.
Okay.
So I think the deficit, or if I could say the immunity gap, between before COVID till after COVID, after all the lockdowns, has rendered us a bit more susceptible. That's why patients might not always respond regularly to what they used to take. And I think that's why maybe even the people are sick a bit longer than they usually are. It's simply because, you know, they've lost that general contact that we had without masks and being together and mixed up.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Should we put masks when we go to church and to the mall? Or putting on masks just affects our immunity as well.
No, I think obviously it tends to protect the people around you. If you're sick with it, it would be good just to.
Oh, cover so if you are the one who's sick, the ones who are not can look, just relax.
It's fine. I think if the flu, I think. Yeah.
You wanted to ask something on medications, Dr. Tailad.
No.
The antibiotics. Mm.
Oh yes, actually, I wanted to ask Dr. Murobali Hure, what is the place of antibiotics in treatment for influenza, and are they really indicated? And then, if that is indicated, under which circumstances would one really give them? Because I've seen I'm also guilty. You know, I do give antibiotics. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just fastening my belt on top of my crease bandage just to make sure.
Just hold it on the antibiotics, Dr. Tlala. Let's take a family bit. Okay, I'm trying to take your call. Let's see. I don't know what's happening. If I saw your call a little bit late, please try calling again and then we will stop for you. All right. So, Dr. Tlala, you're also guilty of that.
Yeah, that's right. But I think after today, I'm going to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would the reasons be of giving a patient antibiotics, according to Dr. Tlalani, before Dr. Murobali asks? I mean, response.
No, there is no indication for antibiotics because influenza basically is a viral infection.
Uh-huh.
Antibiotics won't work. But somehow...
You still give,
yes.
But and it does work. In the past, it did work.
You see now... That's an anecdotal observation that it works. They haven't proven it in the laboratory that it works.
Yeah, but through the doctor's eye, it did work. Dr. Murobali.
No, thank you. No. Let me start and say, antibiotics do not work for viral infections. Okay. Yeah. So essentially, the targets, the way they work, it's different from how viruses actually function. So antibiotics don't. But I think what... People who go to the GP, sometimes even patients demand antibiotics. They kind of feel like if you haven't given them,
you haven't treated
them properly.
Yeah.
You know?
They'll go next door to
somebody who actually will dish it out. But the problem, really, I want to alert, the problem with overuse of antibiotics comes to where we're now dealing with an issue of resistant organisms, especially in hospitals. Because an overuse of antibiotics...
Okay, just hold it there on antibiotics. We're coming back to you. I hope I got it this right. Hi, family. How are you?
Hello, my sister. It's Bolenya Bulisa.
Hi, Babu Vilagazi, our excellency.
Yeah, Babu Vilagazi.
Hello, Dr. T.
I haven't heard from you for a long time.
And a greeting to our virologist, Dr. Daniel Murobali.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I've had, thanks to our specialist, by informing us that COVID pandemic have never totally left us.
Yeah.
Because can I be coming with say penny and say penny?
Of course.
Yeah. My question is to protect ourselves. Can we still go for vaccines? Are vaccines still available to protect land? Because the vaccines they were for COVID pandemic only.
Yeah.
So that is my question.
All right. I think let's put it on. Thank you so much, Babu Vilagazi. Is that the only question?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So
excuse me. Vaccine for what?
COVID. Yes. Oh, okay. For COVID, and it's Babu Vilagazi.
Yes. Thank you. God bless you all.
God bless you. He says that because we thought that COVID is now dealt with, we are out of COVID. And we were told to vaccinate for COVID earlier on, but now we hear it's still there. So he's asking, Dr. Tlalani, are the vaccinations still here and should we still vaccinate? So I'm going to put it on both of you, starting with Dr. Tlalani, then going to Dr. Murobali.
Well, I don't think we really need because we are not in a pandemic now.
Okay.
I don't think we need to be vaccinating now.
For COVID,
yes.
Yeah.
What you have to be concentrating on is to vaccinate for the present seasonal influenza that we have now.
Okay.
I don't know what they're
doing. Yeah, and also the COVID vaccines aren't readily available now. I remember there was a time when they kept the stock that were there. I don't know the background.
It expired.
It was something, and they kept some for only the much higher risk.
Yeah.
So it's very
yeah.
difficult. Like, I tried to get a COVID
vaccine.
It wasn't available. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But the flu is available. Please, let's vaccinate.
So you go, you vaccinate for flu
yes,
this
please.
Time around.
Yeah.
Not go for you won't get you get
no,
the
won't
COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Even though you might be found still with the strain of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah,
and I'm not sure if those vaccines, because they were more experimental when because it was very urgent to have something to protect themselves.
Moment.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And then I don't know if SAHPRA has really or FDA has really approved them now as
because they still have to go through.
Yeah, they still have to go through some other tests. Or whatever.
Yes, yes.
And then I don't think it would be advisable to be giving them now if they haven't got a. Heads up from
an
FDA.
Approval from SAHPRA. Okay.
SAHPRA.
All right. And you were still talking about the antibiotics, Dr.
Oh, yes.
Borobadi.
Thank you. Yeah. So the issue about overuse of antibiotics comes to where organisms get used to those antibiotics. And then when somebody gets sick and now goes to hospital, the bugs have known, so they can become resistant to antibiotics if we use in the hospital. And that's a danger that generally... if we overuse other antibiotics, patients, the bugs will get used to them and then they'll develop resistance. And then there'll be a point where we don't know what to use anymore, even the bugs that we see in hospital.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So if antibiotics are not for viruses, what are antibiotics for?
antibiotics, essentially the bacteria and viruses are slightly different, so the mechanisms of antibiotics work differently. But we do have antivirals. There is medication for influenza, actually.
Yes, with antivirals.
Yes. Also, it's like Tamiflu, that's the one that's really, really available. And Doc, we were speaking earlier, just to mention, one of the tests that one can do, we have a test that we love to promote. It's called the cough try. So it includes influenza A and B,
okay.
as well as RSV and COVID in one test.
Oh,
so we are able to do all of those, and that can help us.
Is it a blood test? A sputum
it's a throat,
test?
The throat swab. So
Ooh.
We don't do COVID.
We can give you the sputum one and the blood one any day,
yeah,
but
the swab. Yeah, it's ideal, yeah. But we can test for that for all those viruses, yeah.
So one of my questions is, can we safely say that one can get healed from the influenza making rounds right now that people are experiencing?
Yes. I think flu, most infections will be asymptomatic. Some will be the influenza-like, and they can really get well. I mean, I think studies done before have indicated that if you give Tamiflu for an influenza-like illness, it just reduces the amount of time being sick by about one day. So that's why it doesn't come. But somebody who has, it goes down into the lungs, they get more severe disease. Those are the people that definitely need to get flu.
So we treat what? The symptoms, or we treat the flu itself?
Well,
I think we treat both. You have to take care of the symptoms, for instance. You know, you have to take care of the fevers, the aches and pains, while you are dealing with the virus itself.
Well, can you kill the virus? I wanted to say, while you're killing the virus.
Tamiflu does, isn't it?
Yeah, well, essentially, Tamiflu, the way it works is every virus that it has to get out of the cell to go and infect many more viruses, many more cells.
Yeah.
What Tamiflu does, it
locks it in there.
Yes, it inhibits the enzyme that cleaves the virus from the cells.
Okay.
So the viruses are stuck there. They don't propagate themselves. So they don't spread.
And it'll die naturally.
The body takes care of them,
So is there prevention? Can we prevent this? I know that some years back, you would have people saying, no, the whole year I never had anything, I've been fine, and they never got a vaccine. Is it possible to prevent in this year's influenza by the looks of it, Dr. Tlailani?
Well, I think to prevent it's the vaccine way.
The vaccine way?
Yeah.
Who is eligible for vaccine?
Well, pregnant women, elderly, children, people with comorbidities like asthma, diabetes, HIV, cancer, and then let me say, maybe all those who are immunosuppressed, I think those are eligible for vaccination.
Yeah. Children, when we're talking about children, which age? Are we talking babies? Can they also be vaccinated for that?
I'm not sure, but I can bet on 14, from 14 years of age.
Okay.
Yeah, the little ones are talking about 14 years. I'm not sure about babies less than
that. Yeah, they can. Just, I think, less than 6 months. Those are the ones that you
can't.
You can't control. But up to about 6 months, there's a dosing that you can give, a lower dose. But they can get, because we see a lot of the severe disease in the under fives.
Right.
It's a flu, so you can actually vaccinate those.
Now, when people also talk about vaccinating for flu, influenza, it's just like with COVID. Others with COVID have showed up with some side effects. With flu, some say they feel their bones aching. Mm-hmm. They got headaches, they feel fluish, and that's why most of them dodge that. What's the reason behind that? What's happening, Dr. Murubadi? He's even laughing about it.
Yes. The reason is, so anytime our body gets exposed to an antigen or a new thing, it has to deal with it. So now people will have like an overwhelming caring to fight that.
Yes.
They get all of these symptoms. But it's actually good. It means the immunity is actually working.
Yeah.
So it means the body recognizes something new, so it's sorting it out. So that's no reason. That's not a reason not to vaccinate, please. Yeah.
Then it's something for like one day, two days, 3 days.
It will not last long, as a disease would. Yeah.
I'm sure you found that at your practice, Dr. Clare. I'm not taking it. Sure, our time is so up. What do we say to family, Dr. Tlailani, during this colds, flu, and should I add COVID-19 season?
Just before we go there,
yes.
I just want to ask Dr. Murubadi as to how long does this flu vaccine take in the body?
Okay.
Because we've experienced patients coming back, having vaccinated, of course, and they come back
with a fully blown influenza
again. So, would we have to revaccinate them?
No. I think one vaccine will do. What I would maybe try and establish with this new infection, is it actually flu or is it one of the others?
Right.
Because they really can present similar. If you're vaccinated for flu,
you
are not protected against RSV. You're not protected against rhino.
Right.
Yeah, there's many other viral infections we didn't have time to really go into, but they can present similar. Too far. Yeah, the people can get sick. I mean, previously, rhinovirus was common cold, everything. But now we've seen people get admitted with rhino, RSV, into ICU. So it can, we need to then establish exactly the diagnosis.
So the kind of people that would be admitted in ICU, would they be people with comorbidities or even those without?
Well, mostly people with comorbidities.
Mostly. So if one has comorbidities, it means they need to take precautionary measures where their health is concerned.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for this talk. I know we didn't cover everything, but by God's grace, we will cover next time. Dr. Tlailani, what do we say to family as we're closing?
The vaccines are out there, and then we are now in an epidemic of an influenza 2024 now, I think.
And you sound blocked now suddenly.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Haibo!
I'm a victim of that now.
No, in Jesus' name we say no.
I don't need to go, don't worry. I think it's because of the temperature in the room. So I think I would advise everybody to go and have a jab.
And also take care of themselves health-wise.
Yeah, that's right.
Dr. Murubadi?
I fully second Dr. Tlailani. Look, let's vaccinate. Flu is preventable. Let's really take care of ourselves and our loved ones.
And please not try to diagnose yourself and say, I have COVID.
And try to avoid the OTCs.
Get COVID. Your message is coming in a little bit late, my queen. And she says, good morning, Sispo, and our doctors. Thank you all, for informing us. Monday morning, I started feeling really cold. Even blankets did not help. And headache, sore throat, body aches. But I'm better today. And you see a lot of that as well, hey?
A lot, yeah.
And so when somebody's feeling like that, Dr. Tlailani, really cold, blankets not helping, headaches, sore throat. But Dr. Murubadi, you said these fall under, what do you call it again? Flu-like symptoms. Yeah, they are flu-like. It's not that is flu.
It is flu, But oh, it's okay. Not, it's a category that's really mild.
Does it fall under flu C or?
No, it could be any of them, yeah.
It can be any of them. Yeah. And so in this regard, but she feels better today, should she still go see a doctor and get vaccinated later on?
I think so. Then give she a doctor. Maybe there are some other things which prompted her to go into this state of flu-like state.
Mm.
Yeah, just to check up.
Mm. Mm. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mommy. Thank you, and the family out there.
So, Dr. Tlailani, for those who'd like to talk to you directly, how do they get hold of you?
Yeah, after 6 o'clock, can use my cell phone, which is 078-738-2694.
Repeat that.
078-738-2694.
Dr. Morovedi, if we would like to be in contact with you.
Yes, you're welcome to contact me through the lab at 012-678-0676. 012-678-0676.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, my Dr. Tsarunahle, for coming through. I think there's more that we will hear from family members who have attended to what they are feeling. We'll get some testimonies of that. I can't wait. And I'm hoping that we can discuss these further sometime again in the year, especially you mentioned September, where it starts spiking again. And I think we would need to come and check what that is. Yeah. But thank you so much, Dr. Tlailani, for also inviting Dr. Morovedi to be with us this morning.
Thanks very much. I must say thanks, Doc, for coming.
I'm glad.
Yeah, for honoring our invitation.
Thank you.
And family, do remember that Dr. Tlailani is available after 6. Otherwise, you can send him a WhatsApp on his number, 078-738-2694. Remember, he's got a family, so but after 6. And right now, after here, he's going straight to his practice. So you might not find him. Drop him a WhatsApp, 078-738-2694. And Dr. Morovedi is from Ampeth Laboratories, so you can call his office line, 012-678-0676. It's 012-678-0676. Is it 0676? Yes. So do take care of yourself.
You're at 657 AM, Radio Caring, 24 hours a day.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.